violence from an organization that promises to keep them safe. After the events of the past few years, many people are now beginning to learn that you are not here to save us, but rather, you are here to oppress us and carry out the will of the criminal ruling class. You are here to keep order for the people in control, not to provide safety for the people who are being controlled. In fact, you are the very mechanism that elites use to continue their global system of oppression, and the world is finally starting to wake up to this, and they are becoming increasingly angry every time they see blood needlessly spilled without consequence.
The truth shall set you free.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracy Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Big Country, as always, on the other end of the way.
It's me, boy.
That's right. Chris, say hello. Just kidding, once again. And this time he didn't even contact us.
Yeah, he didn't even have a sick note, dude.
Yeah. You couldn't even make it. Like, he didn't even have the guile to pull out a shitty excuse again.
Right.
You know? What is going on with that lizard?
I don't know, dude. Maybe he's, like, off-planet.
But the Earth's still flat, though.
Well, you know, off-planet could mean just he's in, like, the adjacent dimension.
Ah, the parallel universe. I got you.
Yeah.
I know. Noel was hoping he would make it, but when he sent me that picture, and I was like, nah, your form is not letting
you coming.
Go. Yeah, your form is not letting you get out of there, bud.
That scaffold is still two stories tall, dude. You're not coming.
Just trying to get it down.
Hey, at least he sends proof, though. You know what I mean?
He does. He does. He's got an incredible track record. He's got an alibi.
He's got an alibi, and it checks out. So
that's it, yeah. Before we introduce our guest, very last-minute guest, I want to remind everybody, WBCTavern.com is live, where you can get all of our merchandise. It's $5 a month to become a member, and then you get super secret extra old members only merchandise. Yeah,
and you can't tell anybody
or
about it.
Or fucking kill you.
Yeah, we'll find you.
Yeah, I literally have your address. So, maybe I should have left that part out. Right?
Yeah, we'll edit that out.
Just put a bunch of bleeps in there, you know? That'd be actually pretty funny. I might do that. But yeah, special Discord roles, exclusive documentaries, exclusive live shows when we start doing those, all different kinds of fun stuff. It'll always be $5. It's only one tier. The price never goes up. It only goes down as we run promotions. And right now, if you sign up, you get 10% off your first month, and you get a free fucking t-shirt.
Heck yeah.
Shut up, computer.
Dude, and those shirts are fucking nice.
Dude. So this is what I'll say, and I don't want to shit on this guy's brand because I think he makes outstanding designs, and it has a good message for people. It's that Forbidden Clothes.
Yeah.
And they've got awesome fucking designs. The guy's a genius, or girl, or whoever, or they, whatever. Yeah. but the graphic on the tee is literally like falling off of three of my shirts.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of I got to fix Ryan's pup photo there. I just noticed his photo was like chopping off his name. Because he doesn't have a camera. our shirts, I've washed them 3-4 times now. Bright as can be.
And they're like thick. Like they're fucking well-made shirts.
Yeah. Like there was definitely multiple people making that t-shirt.
Yeah.
Probably just because the material. Yeah, just because the material is so heavy. You probably needed like a buddy, like a spotter.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, yeah, you can only do so much at a time. You know, before a mandatory like union break, how thick the material is. It's like eating a spoonful of peanut butter. That's how thick it is.
God damn.
God damn.
Right? Gluten-free peanut butter. but anyhow, let's get off of that. Let's introduce our guest, making his, I don't know, 7th, 8th appearance or so on the show, the Hell Hooligan, Ryan Alexander.
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me. I like that name. I like that moniker, the Health Hooligan.
Hell yeah.
Well, what's interesting is if you remember, Ryan, you were our first guest ever.
Yeah,
I do, and I've been very proud to watch you guys grow over the years.
Dude, we're growing like a virus, but a real one. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like an actual tangible virus that can be duplicated. So you broke some news on us before we started getting going here, and I was completely unaware that they yanked your podcast because I swear to God I listened to it like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, let me just say, for anybody who doesn't know, yeah, I'm in the health business. My main job is basically to translate health information for people. I do sell health products as well. I sell supplements, and I write books, and I sell books. And you can find everything I do on my website, notusbooks.org. And that includes all my social media handles, Instagram and YouTube. But that's actually kind of the only place to find my content at the moment because, yeah, my podcast was pulled off of all platforms. And let me say that business is really good right now, actually, not just in my business, but in the health business in general, alternative specifically. Literally everyone I know in the business this year is busier than they've ever been. Everyone.
Good.
No matter what they do, whether they're a massage therapist, an acupuncturist, they sell supplements like us, they sell herbs. Everybody's booming right now. Business is very good.
It's really good.
Probably doubled or tripled since we last spoke.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, that's across everything. That's products and that's books and all that stuff is doubled. Everything's doing well. But man, I've had a string of bad luck with platforms, and I don't know why, man. It's such a weird thing. Like, we sell vitamins and minerals.
Yeah.
You know, we give free health information. That's every single day. We've got people who message us and message me specifically and say, hey, you know, just want to thank you. You know, I did this 1, 2, 3, 4 things that you mentioned, and it changed my life. It saved my appendix. You know, it did this and that. Saved my dog, man. Like, you know, it's all positive. It's such a weird thing that this genre is so heavily censored. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes on here we've talked about conspiracies and stuff, and it's like, that's not what's censored.
Right.
You know, I can post about mud flood and the CIA and, you know, you name it, flat earth or whatever. No one cares.
Yeah.
The internet doesn't care in general. But you start talking about health information, we've been censored since the start, you know, and Instagram, even like even just simple things. I've never been able to sponsor a post on any channel. We have multiple accounts. Never been able to sponsor a post.
Damn.
You know, never been able to use the shop feature since that came out. You know, a lot of times I'm doing lives, I'm not allowed to join a live with somebody. I'm not allowed to do a dual live, and so many different roadblocks. Not even talking about shadow banning and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, I recently got pulled not just from Spotify, also from Amazon. And Amazon actually, I didn't get an actual explanation from Spotify. Let me say that. And it's because they own Anchor, by the way. I always publish my podcast on Anchor.
Okay.
And so it broadcasted to a whole bunch of different platforms. Most of the listeners were on Spotify, but since Spotify bought Anchor, when they decided to pull me, they pulled off all platforms at once.
Oh, shit.
And completely locked out. My account doesn't exist. I can't even access a bunch of those episodes. I have a bunch of them saved, but not all of them, etc., etc. But Amazon happened at the same time. They pulled us from our affiliate program there. I was trying to monetize the podcast, actually.
Yeah.
The podcast was doing really well. I was just getting in my groove with it, actually. It's been 3 years, but just finally getting in my groove with it. And I recently had gotten up to 2.1 million listens.
Nice.
And then, it was nice. But then, boom, it's gone. And Spotify, similar to Instagram, you know, they stopped me from earning right away. I earned $52 getting paid 1 penny per listen. So when it hit 5,200 listens, they pulled that. And so, yeah, I mean, could have made 20 grand from just the 1 penny per listen off the regular numbers. But then, you know, I applied for their ad program numerous times, just kept getting rejected. No reason, no communication, no nothing like that. So I'm not very happy with Spotify, put it that way. But Amazon actually came back and said it's because of the content that I make, basically, that they don't want their customers to be... I don't remember the exact words. I was very frustrated when I read their email. But it was personal. It was a person who messaged me back when I appealed it, saying, hey, what the heck? You know, we're just doing this affiliate link program here on the Spotify, on the episodes, and on my website. And they said, yeah, we don't want our customers being exposed to this kind of stuff. Like, what? But... Amazon published my books, right? All my books are published through Amazon. So they're still willing to take their 40% off of my book sales.
You know what it was? This is what I would imagine. The person that actually emailed that to you is probably some morbidly obese, fat fucking piece of shit who has like a jowl.
You're a fatophobe in their eyes.
You're a fatophobe in their eyes, and you're like, listen, big is beautiful, and I love myself. Did you happen to see that one bitch that was like by the way, when anybody says that they went to TikTok or he went to TikTok, I already don't care because it's already not important to me. But she went to TikTok to express her distaste with the airlines because the aisles were not big enough to fit her. Like, I was like, first of all, we need to contact SeaWorld and let them know Shamu's out of the fucking cage.
I actually commented on that because it was from some news company, right?
Yeah.
And I commented on it. I said, if I got to pay for extra baggage, they better be charging this bitch. And here's the thing. She said that it was discrimination because she couldn't walk down the aisle like face forward because she was probably 500 pounds.
Easily.
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
And she could not fit down the aisle to get to her seat. She had to walk sideways. Well, first of all, I don't know anybody who walks straight down the aisle anyways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter how big you are.
Serial killers.
Yeah. So she said it was discrimination. And there were comments from both worlds like, that's right, girl. You get them. Right? But
yes, queen.
Yeah, but like these like public vehicles are not created for a specific person. It's created for a general person.
Yeah.
So the majority of people can fit in a fucking airplane seat with the regular seatbelt.
Yeah.
I also don't want
you sitting over the wing. You know what I mean? It will just be making a turn the whole flight.
Like, you got to be in the middle. You can't be in the front or the back because they're trying to make being extremely morbid, because that was beyond morbidly obese, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, it's Gilbert Grape's mom big. Like, and when she dies, just burn the house down. You know what I mean?
Have you seen this, Ryan? We totally took a left turn there from your getting banned from YouTube.
No, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
it
welcome to America.
Like that.
Yeah.
Responded to me. I don't know. I didn't expect them to come back and say, yeah, it's because of you.
I thought it's not us. It's you.
No, yeah.
They didn't pull my books, but yeah, we're just gonna discontinue this partnership.
So are you going to try and host under a different platform, like Spreaker maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on a resolution. I'm honestly haven't heard a word back from Spotify or Anchor. I'm just sending email after email to support and going in and doing the chat thing. And then they come in and say, yeah, we can't help this situation. You got to email this department.
Right.
So I'm trying to get it back. Obviously I got a nice, healthy audience there and it would be best just to get it back. I can be a little bit patient. I've started uploading the archive to my website, notusbooks.org. It's really Notice Books, but it's spelled Not Us.
Scrolling at the bottom.
So there people can watch it for free and download it for free, download it easily and all this stuff. And I didn't have ads anyways, but they can't. Well, they probably could pull my website. Someone could pull my website.
Yeah, depending on who hosts the server that your website's on. You know,
it could very well be
Amazon.
No, so. It's not. It's Groove.
Oh, okay.
It's a Groove cart. And I paid for lifetime membership, and I don't know how they can breach that contract. They host all my websites, so I don't know. Hopefully I stay low key enough to stay under the radar, but I don't know. All the content is there for now.
Yeah.
Well, dude, you're hanging out with us, so I doubt it.
Well, I think it's the whole idea. Because I mean, they can see your reviews, they can see your ratings, your comments, and everything like that. So when you're getting all this positive feedback and people are talking about how this is actually helping them, and maybe people who are just kind of dabbling in alternative medicine run across your podcast, see how many people are positively responding through the books you write or the products you sell, knowing that more and more people at this time are seeking out alternative medicine, they wanted to shut that down because I'm sure they get, kicked back from Big Pharma They have constantly ads that you can now get like pharmaceutical pills, prescription pills from Amazon's, one of their services. So yeah, I'm sure they're getting kicked back from Big Pharma. So guys like you are scary for them.
Well, it's still a weird thing for me to think about, honestly.
Right.
people today were asking about Dr. Buttar. He just died mysteriously or got killed, you know, depending on what you believe.
Yeah.
And yeah, people ask, you know, how dangerous is this profession? It's just such a weird thing for me to think that talking about vitamins and minerals and food and stuff, like being a nutritionist, so to speak, that's considered a dangerous profession. It's
right.
Still blows my mind.
Yeah, well, you would, you know, it's hard to think, because I think, you know, the more we talk about lost history and Tartaria and mud flood and things like that, I think, you know, when you talk about people making potions, you know, and concocting these things, those were witches and wizards, and, you know, they wanted to villainize people who were messing with herbs and you know, treating people with naturally grown substances and things like that. So history's kind of perverted it, turned it into witchcraft. And then we're here because you're supposed to be believing the doctors and the scientists who developed these drugs. So people now feel more comfortable taking a pharmaceutical over the counter or prescription instead of, you know, realizing the benefits of turmeric and then growing it yourself so you always have it and you know it's clean. And, you know, it's so weird because it's like modern day witch hunts. Anybody talking about herbalistics gets vilified. Even doctors who talk positively about it get threats of having their license pulled.
Well, you know, that's what got us our first strike on YouTube.
Really?
I made it like, yeah. So the height of COVID, I made a video like when everybody was still freaking out about what's going on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I just made a video where I was talking about, I bet you if you just exercised, got some vitamin C and got some sun, you'll probably be just fine. And they struck the video and pulled it for medical misinformation. Mm-hmm.
That's
shortly
weird.
After that is why we left YouTube.
When you can say like exercise is good for you and they're like medical misinformation.
It's crazy. It's a crazy world we live in, guys. And that's why we're here today, actually, right? I posted just this morning that I got yet another video pulled from YouTube, and it was one of ours. There's been so many, man. There's been like 24 videos pulled. I don't even try and post to YouTube. I hardly post anything to YouTube these days. I'm surprised our health account actually hasn't really gotten flagged at all. I'm pretty...
Yeah, knock on wood.
Pretty cautious about it. Yeah, I'm not making videos about COVID or anything like that, or vaccines or anything. It's just like, hey, this is how you fix your digestion. You know, I try to be very light about it now on YouTube. But it's crazy. I'm sure...
Wink all the time.
I'm sure the average person doesn't realize how heavily censored basic health information is. You would really think that some of these deep dive conspiracy accounts would be more censored, but on YouTube, my conspiracy, like actual conspiracy videos, they're actually the best. They do the best, you know. YouTube doesn't care about that. Doesn't care about Tartaria. Doesn't care about hidden history or anything like that. Those are my most popular videos. But you start talking about real stuff, it doesn't show it to anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, my videos now are getting like nothing, literally like 200 views on my main channel.
Yeah,
you know, it's like there's over 3,000 subs, which is not a huge amount. Been an uphill battle, definitely. Mm-hmm. But when not even 10% of your audience even sees it, you know, YouTube's just not showing it to them. It's
exactly,
it's not really worth the time, to be honest. And Spotify was like the main one that was definitely worth the time, even without the Amazon thing. Because we actually tried twice, actually. They pulled us the first time, we tried again. And then they came back and said, it's actually because of you and your content, and that we don't want anything to do with this affiliate program and whatnot. But
so
I
weird.
Could tell there was a whole bunch of new customers coming in, too, though. Like,
it's good.
From the website, from supplements. Like, I see a bunch of random names, a bunch of random products. That's not how we do things on Instagram. You know, we actually give people specific recommendations. So if I see a bunch of random orders, they're got to be coming from somewhere.
Right.
And when there's literally millions of new people viewing the content, I just have to assume that's where that traffic was coming from.
Right.
Right. Right. It's really interesting is I think a lot of us are kind of starting to figure out ways around the algorithm, you know, with different things. So I've noticed like when we started streaming to Rockfin, Odyssey, and Rumble, like simultaneously, we do four when we do live shows. So we do Rockfin, Odyssey, Rumble, and Twitch. And Rockfin's always had a steady flow of viewers when we do it, right? Because that was like the flagship for us. But then Rumble started gaining a lot of traction. But what's interesting is almost all of our views on Rumble are solely about Flat Earth. Like when I do the live Flat Earth Fridays.
That's so weird.
They don't mind that.
Those videos.
Powers that be don't mind that.
Those videos will have like 1,200, 1,500 views, which for only being on Rumble for like a couple months is not bad, right?
Right, right.
And then I'll simultaneously see an increase of followers on Instagram, like during that Friday. Oh, like okay. Once they follow us on Rumble, then they follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, because I mean, we don't really push Rumble all that much. Mm-mm. So that's you know, organic growth right there.
Yeah, that would. But see, like, how did those people who are in that community, mm-hmm. who are willing to subscribe to a channel, haven't seen our other stuff?
Well, exactly.
When our numbers should suggest that, like, at least we could,
because
we should have been crossed at one, you know, one time.
Yeah, because the algorithm on Rumble isn't as suppressive as other ones. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So the content they're searching for is the content they're going to find. And obviously, typically nowadays, you have more than one social media. So, you know, it's kind of just like, found you here. Well, I'm going to go to this one, you know? So, but yeah, I definitely think hopefully, you know, the Amazon thing gets resolved. And if not, I definitely think you should continue at least on a different platform, because those listeners are going to follow you wherever you go. You know what I mean? And yeah,
100%.
And I think nowadays, like, alternative healthcare is so sought after that the sky's the limit. You know what I mean? People are sick and tired. They've lost faith in law enforcement. They've lost faith in the government. They've lost faith in healthcare, traditional healthcare. So this is like one of the main avenues that people are kind of trying to find their own lane in. And I think that no matter where you go, those listeners are going to come right back.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm going to keep going. It's just a roadblock. But,
yeah,
you know, I think it's a blessing in disguise to give me a chance to step back and reevaluate what type of thing do I want to focus on? Mm-hmm. You know, how can I remain low key while also being, you know, as informative and useful as possible, basically.
Right.
And I've only recently actually kind of fully committed to being the health guy. And mm-hmm. I know that was, like you call me, the health hooligan. And honestly, a lot of other podcasts in the conspiracy realm or community, if we can call it that, a lot of them bring me on fairly regularly to be, you know, sort of a voice of reason in the health world, because there's a lot of speculation. People who are into alternative information, you can pick up a lot of contradictory and a lot of incorrect stuff in the health realm. So, you know, it's good that they bring me on. But yeah, I was kind of unfocused before, doing this and that, doing art on the side, doing conspiracies on the side. And, you know, I just really recently committed to doing this and this only, the health thing only. I know it's the real difference maker. And let me throw something in here. So I'm working on a book right now. I haven't been able to write a book in about a year because we've been so busy. Business has been so good.
Yeah.
It's very tough. I mean, we're 8 o'clock at night right now. And so I'm over a 12-hour day right now. I've been doing 12, 14 hours, 7 days a week recently.
God,
I haven't taken any days off, because it's necessary, because there's so much business and there's customers and there's orders and there's emails and all the stuff.
Well,
but I haven't been able to write a book. So
yeah, you got to be careful. I did read an article yesterday that waking up early is a sign of white supremacy.
That's right.
So
check
yourself.
Yeah, I know. I can sound like a workaholic too when I'm talking like that. But I also don't get to smoke weed here in Texas, by the way. So I did.
How come?
Well, I mean, it's not legal, and it's expensive here. I'm just saying, in Canada, oh man, we're swimming in it. We're swimming in it. I'm drowning in it. So I do get tired at the end of the day, and I do stop working, and I do unwind. So here, right, I just don't unwind, and I do podcasts at 8 o'clock at night instead of relaxing and kicking my feet up, you know. But anyway, so I'm working on this book. This is why it's important. This is why they're scared of health. This book is called The Healthy Revolutionary. And the premise is that by controlling our own health and our own wealth, something that gets left out of the radical conversation quite a lot, you need money to do this stuff. You need money to be independent. You need money to set up a homestead or whatnot. And if you think you don't, then you're wrong. And if you're trying to make any difference in the world, you're going to need money to do it. And money has been absolutely critical to me making a difference in the world. And as we were talking about off camera before this, you know, about some people in the community kind of saying that, you know, it's not right to charge for your content. Well, it's very difficult to make a living in this genre, number one. Number two, we need to get paid for our efforts. We need money to live, man. This is not a utopia, whatever your ideology says. Anyway, so The Healthy Revolutionary, controlling your health, controlling your wealth. That's how you break free from the system. That is the answer. If you're dependent on pharmaceuticals, or if you think you need to go to the doctor, anything like this, you're just not going to be independent. You're not. You're going to fail. You're not going to achieve the type of enlightenment that you're looking for, and the good life that you're looking for, and the longevity that you're looking for. You're just not going to achieve that if you listen to the government. Right. If you listen to mainstream media, it's basically the same thing. It's just another branch of the government. So I do think this information is threatening. Waking up early is rooted in white supremacy. That's a real thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, I believe
check yourself early.
Wake up early, work hard. You know, don't be lazy. But this is a threat to the system. People who don't need medicine, people who don't shop at the grocery store, people who don't need insurance, don't pay for insurance, and people who understand money and wealth, we are basically taking power away from the system.
Right.
So a lot of people think that facing the system head on is the way to do it. Let's protest. Let's fight the power. You know, I really don't think so. It's like trying to put out a fire with fire. Very basic analogy. You know, it's much harder. It's more work and everything to put it out with water, but it's how you actually do it. You empower yourself, and you take power away from them. It is zero sum. There is a fixed amount of power to go around. Mm-hmm. And the more you are dependent on the government for anything. Health is just one big thing, but money's another big thing. There's a lot of people calling themselves radicals or revolutionaries or anarchists or this and that, and they're taking welfare, you know, or they don't know about business taxes and stuff like this. They avoid all this stuff, so they end up actually paying way more taxes than they would if they were smart about their money. You know, rich people pay less taxes, not in totality. In totality, rich people actually pay more taxes, but they pay less of a percentage of their taxes because they know how to use the system.
Exactly.
They know how to use businesses, and they don't pay income taxes and stuff like this. And before I ever got involved in any of this, one of my only goals in life was to not pay taxes, you know, but that also led me to not earning very much money. So I figured, it took a long time. It sounds like a very basic thing, but I finally realized that, you know, even if I want to change the world, even if I don't agree with the way things are, I still actually need to make money to get free from this and to help other people get free from this.
Right.
And so, yeah, it is a threat. It is a threat. If you are in control of your health and your wealth, then you are a massive threat to the system. You really are an independent citizen. It doesn't matter whether you can bear arms or not.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter whether you fight the system or not. You can and will influence others if you put the effort in, and you are going to need your health and your wealth to do that.
Right. Very well said.
Well, I want to say too, like, I feel as if, and I've said this before in the show, that I feel as if that a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders when I like really stopped believing in the political spectrum of like left and right, but there's just the government as a whole. Like when I just kind of exited that system, as far as like, basically I pretend like they don't even exist.
Yeah.
Which, as far as all I can verify, They don't exist. There's just people on TV that say that they're in these positions.
It's a background story.
Yeah,
if they took the government away, guys, if the government, federal government at least, federal government, but let's say state governments and provincial governments in Canada too, let's just say they completely disappeared tomorrow, I guarantee literally nothing would change.
No.
Other than the workers themselves, the people who work for the government being like, oh, what do? Do I go to work still? And do I still stand at the gate at the border and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But the world itself would not change because the government doesn't do anything. By the way, it's my favorite book that I've read. It's still Everything the Government Does is Bad for Us. And I'm going to go back and update it with even more stuff probably at the end of this year. But I mean, this has been my thought for a long time. If you just completely stripped away the entire federal government of any country that you name, literally nothing would change.
Yeah.
Because they're not the ones that run the country. They're not the ones that run the world. Truckers, farmers, you know, everything from restaurant workers, tradespeople, they're what run the world. If all the truckers disappear tomorrow, the world shuts down. Everybody's screwed, including the political class.
Yep.
But the political class or the parasitic class, they're completely useless. And there is an argument for administration at the town level. You know, my town, my taxes that go to my town is literally spent in the town. They don't go to war.
Yep.
You know, they don't push drugs on us. They don't have any of these massive contracts with BlackRock and all these other things. You know, they don't teach all this transgender stuff and whatnot to our kids and all this. The town doesn't do any of that. You know, there's an argument for local administration, but take the federal, take the state, take the provincial levels away, and literally the world stays the exact same because we, the people, are the ones that get everything done. They're the ones that siphon off our wealth and, steer us basically into everything that's bad for us too. I mean, health-wise, all the health stuff, every health recommendation by every government is in general bad, which is it's a pretty interesting concept that if you basically do the opposite of what your government tells you, you will be much, much better off health-wise and probably very quickly.
Yep.
Yeah. That's as a matter of fact, I think that we used to have these. They were called townships.
Yeah.
Like where your local would be the government that actually accumulates the taxes and then puts it back into the city or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more there, what you said about the sooner we just stop doing what the government is telling us is good for us, overall, we'll be not only just healthier, but we'd be a lot freer too.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't remember like the last time I heard like a spokesperson from our so-called government come out and say something where I was like, oh, that is good.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thanks, guys in the suits.
No. Dude, I mean, the government just said, oh, we had an accounting error and we found $3 billion that we didn't even know we had. So everyone's like, cool, what are we going to do with it? They're like, oh, we're just going to send it to the Ukraine. We're going to send it to the Ukrainian effort. We can buy more weapons. Dude, hold up. You found $3,000 and you're giving it away to a different country for a war. Like, that's
guys, did you guys know that this is actually a topic we're also not allowed to talk about on social media? Did you guys get that? You said you pulled off of YouTube, but YouTube has been sending me emails, updates, reminders of our policies.
Yeah.
Reminders, you're not allowed to criticize the war.
Jews.
No,
specifically,
you can't.
You're not allowed to criticize. You're really not even allowed to discuss. If you read all the criteria, you're really not allowed to actually discuss the war in Ukraine at all, which is crazy to me that they're pro-war. I thought they were left. I thought that's what all these social media people were. Silicon Valley people were. When did left become pro-war? I really don't understand.
Well, see, here's the thing, man. It's strange because everyone's calling them liberals. This is not typical liberal actions that they're pulling off here. These are obviously closer more to the fascist, Marxist, you know, ways of being and governing, but you know, everyone's kind of confused what a typical liberal was to what we're seeing now, and it's such an extreme version of it's like almost cartoonish, right? Because like you said, they used to be anti-war, now they're anti-penis. Well, anti-penis, anti-true woman,
vagina,
anti-white, anti, you know, it's anti everything, but it's
skinny.
It's clear that there's a control, you know, an operator at the top that's calling the shots, because That's the only way they can be for trans rights, for peace, but unless you're protesting burning stores down in the name of racism, and unless you're sending money to the Ukraine because Putin is a bully, you know what I mean? Like, well, they're saying we're not anti, we are anti-war, but we're more anti whatever the news says Putin is doing, right? It doesn't even have to be a thing. It's not real.
Also, this, if you believe in the spectrum still, but maybe there was a time in this country, I think, when it actually did exist, you know, separate from one another. Yeah. But this is also the same party that is not willing to admit that they created not only the Ku Klux Klan, but also, like, the black codes.
Yeah.
And all that's, like, that all came from the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Right? That's the same exact party. That was like reparations. We're like, wait, you started this shit.
Yeah, the Jim Crow type laws that Joe Biden, you know, wrote up himself. He was a segregationist.
Joe.
Yeah, like people forget all of this stuff. And because all the news has to do is go, no, that's not what happened. And people are like, see? You know what I mean? Like, and then right after that is a fucking commercial for McDonald's. And they're like, yeah, that sounds good.
And then a prescription.
Well,
and then
the narrative continues to just be this government versus that government, this type of government versus that type of government. And the conversation is pretty much never, you know, in the libertarian direction, which is, how about less government? You know, can you name anything that any government did that was actually good for us? I really can't. That's why I called my book Everything the Government Does Bad for Us, because, literally everything they do, even when it seems like a good thing, like, you know, free healthcare or something. I'm really
trying to think, you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, try thinking of something that's good that the government does. No. Everything the government does is bad for us. Even free healthcare. I'm from a country with free healthcare.
Yeah,
check this out. Insurance doesn't prevent disease. Right. Insurance is not prevention. Screening is not prevention. Insurance doesn't get you to avoid certain foods. It doesn't get you to eat healthy. Insurance doesn't pay for supplements. Insurance doesn't teach you anything. Insurance is just there to maybe fix you when you break. That does not equal health. That's not health. That's a sick care system. Right. That's a, you know, it's a mechanic shop for human beings. And, you know, it's basically like everyone's walking around and not changing their oil in their vehicle until it literally seizes up and then going to the mechanic. I mean, if you did that with your vehicle, you'd be buying a new vehicle every like few months, right? This is how we're treating our bodies. And I'm from a country with free healthcare. What does it do for you? It does absolutely nothing for you unless you break. If you break, it's actually your fault. And it's not your fault that you don't know this stuff, but it's partially the fault of the government and the system in general that they don't teach any of this stuff to anyone. You know, there is nothing in our schools or anything that teaches us how to be healthy, but even further, like, they don't teach us how to be independent, how to pay taxes, how to file taxes, how to understand money, how to, you know, pay yourself first so that you actually have some money left over. They just don't teach you anything that you would need to be independent in any way. Everything, you know, grade one is there to get you into grade two. It's not there to teach you to be a self-sufficient human being, basically. And even in health class, I mean, what do they do? They get us to play dodgeball in gym class, and that was fun. You know, but then they get us to put condoms on cucumbers and whatnot. And I mean, they're just, none of this is health. Like,
no.
At the very least, you're talking about, you know, quote unquote safe sex. I mean, okay, we can just leave that as it is, but never do they teach you anything about health. And they're not qualified to anyways. And honestly, even if they tried to, I wouldn't agree with that system either. I would agree that the free market is the best way to get innovation and to get new ideas and to get truth to come to the surface. And whenever you have some kind of curriculum where everybody is basically locked into teaching one thing, no new ideas can come and challenge that, right? They all get the same textbooks from McGraw-Hill, and, you know, we all know where that came from and how controlled that organization is. But even if it wasn't, if it was any textbook, this type of system doesn't have the flexibility to actually allow truth to come to the surface.
Right.
I mean, my mom was a teacher too, by the way. She's retired, but she knew when she started to wake up to all this conspiracy stuff, she knew how weird it was and how wrong it was that she's locked into teaching children literal lies, you know, and even if she's wrong or anything like that, there is no debate allowed in a curriculum. You just teach this and shut up.
That's that's always a question that we've had, like, on the show, especially like when the JFK papers came out. Like, first of all, we didn't need the JFK papers to know that for sure Lee Harvey Oswald did not shoot Kennedy.
Yeah.
But when it came out and they said, yeah, it was the CIA, the FBI, and local and state governments that killed the president, right? And we're like, yeah, we know. But they're not going to update the McGraw-Hills.
No.
To say that.
No, and well, that's part of the issue is like a curriculum has gotten more and more to you don't need to critically think about any of these subjects. We're just going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. You know what I mean? So trying to keep that point of view open when it comes to kids that are in school, you constantly have to tell them like, dude, school is just a game. It has no bearing on the type of person you're going to turn out to be, how intelligent you truly are. It's a game. You jump through these hoops, you fucking move on to the next level. You know what I mean? That's it. Honestly, that's it, dude.
That's a dark episode of Black Mirror incoming. Fuck. Jesus, boy, where the fuck did that come from, you sorry, sicko?
Sorry, man. I've had a few drinks, okay?
Yeah. Should have probably hit smoke before this one. Wow. Yeah, this is what's really interesting is I was having this conversation with some coworkers the other day because they always ask me about like what I'm eating because I always bring my lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And that was definitely like something that I had to get in the habit of doing.
Yeah.
And it all started like when we changed our diet and stuff too. And that's not to say like someday like I forget my lunch. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to buy something. I'm not going to go all day because I'll be a little bitch on the job. You know, nobody likes a little bitchy foreman, right? So people ask me about my food and my diet and stuff like that. And I try to answer the questions the best I can.
Right.
But they're like, dang, do you like, isn't that like really expensive food? And I'm like, yeah, to be honest, we probably spend about like $250 a week on the food that we eat. So we know exactly what we're eating, right? And then of course we feel better, which is why like I don't miss work because I'm never sick,
right?
They go, yeah, that stuff is so expensive, and I'm like, guys, but like think about that, like isn't that alarming? Doesn't that just automatically bother you that like real food is more expensive? And that is a huge deterrent for a lot of people, especially like if you're kind of like stuck, as we were talking about earlier, in the system, like that's all you can afford. All you can afford is like dyes and poison.
Yeah. But here's the thing, right? Like say, because ever since we moved, like we don't have, you know, a real little kitchen at work. We have a microwave, a freezer and a refrigerator. So most of the stuff I bring has to be leftovers or something that I can heat up real quick.
Right.
But I don't leave to go buy meals, you know, at fast food spots or delis or anything like that.
Right.
So, you know, even if you're eating cleaner, yeah, initially that grocery bill is a little bit more expensive, but it's still cheaper than you spending $15, $20 every single day to eat out. You know what I mean?
And then eat just the shitty food at the house.
Exactly. Because now, you know, you've eaten out for lunch, so you're going to go home. Maybe you're not hungry, or you're just going to fucking cook up some ramen or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like...
some frozen taquitos.
Yeah, if you just spend all of the money you would spend for grocery shopping and buying lunch every single day, then it equals out. You know what I mean?
Guys, eating out is ridiculously expensive. I don't know how people say this.
100%.
You know, again, yeah, 15, 20 bucks a meal or something. I don't know any meal that you can get for less than 10 bucks these days. Yeah. When I was a kid, you could, but it was garbage food. And if you didn't know, by the way, this is also in my book, Everything the Government Does is Bad for Us. Most of the junk foods, especially like the corn and all this stuff, even beer, I mean, this stuff is subsidized by the government.
Yeah.
The government pays farmers and allows them to make money off of making junk food, basically. So that's why junk food is cheap, because the government pays for it, which means we pay for it, you know. So healthy food, yeah, sure, in one way it's more expensive if you're just looking like in the grocery store, like the organic version versus the non-organic version or something, okay. But yeah, compared to eating out every day, there's no question that that eating real food is a much, much better deal, both in the cost, first of all, and in the avoidance of pain and disease and early death, second of all. Right. Disease is quite expensive, whether you pay the bill or not. I mentioned that I'm from Canada. You guys know that, but audience, you know, actually, you might not even know that you're not guaranteed to have free health care in Canada. They cut me off because I wasn't in the country long enough.
Wow.
Or sorry, you leave the country for too long, like 6 months, I think, and then they cut you off. Excuse me. So you have to reapply. So I don't have health insurance right now. I haven't had it in quite a long time.
So you have to apply for the health insurance in Canada?
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, you had this card that lasted you your whole life, and I still have that card, but now they switched to where you have to renew it every 5 years. So yeah, it's just like your passport. You have to go into the government and pay them to have this new license. You got to have a license for everything. My wallet is full of cards for all this
for all my
stuff.
Freedom, like, baby. Those are my freedom certificates. Yeah,
I got to have a card to drive my car. I got to have a card another card for the insurance. I got to have a card to go fishing. I got to have a card to have a gun. I got to have all these cards.
Yeah.
I got a passport to leave the country. And my goodness. So yeah, the health thing is another thing that you have to go in and pay the government yet another extortion fee.
Yeah,
exactly. To get all the time. But yeah, no, I don't have health insurance right now.
Okay.
Is my point there. And, you know, even if I did, I don't think it would be a good value for money. But my point here is that someone's paying for it, right? Healthcare isn't free. It might be free to you. It's not free to the society. And it's definitely a massive part of the government parasitic system that takes our resources from us. You know, the free healthcare in Canada is by no means free. It costs society quite a lot. Imagine what we could do with that money instead. But, you know, or just keep it. Keep our own money.
Right.
Keep your own money. And maybe you pay for something if something breaks. Because if I never go to the hospital again, I'm never going to have a rebate on that. I'm never going to, you know, they'd be like, oh, you know, all those taxes that you paid over these years, since you didn't use these services, you get the money back. No, you're nothing like that. You just pay for, you know, just like I paid car insurance. The car insurance that I paid costs more than my car. Yeah. My car is not very expensive. I got a good deal on it. But now I've paid like twice as much in insurance as I have for the actual vehicle itself. So yeah, we're paying a ton for healthcare. But also, if you're not, like if you're in America, you don't have health insurance. If you eat this so-called cheaper food, and you know you have pains in your chest or pains in your belly, and you don't understand, and you go to the hospital, and they say we got to take your appendix out, and then you agree, and you're paying thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars for those fees. How is that cheaper, right? Also, you know, it's hard to quantify pain. I grew up in pain. The first 25 years of my life, I grew up in pain. I wouldn't accept $1 billion to go back to that. There's no way.
Right.
It's not worth it. So it's hard to compare it. You know, we're talking about expense. Oh, it's more expensive to eat healthy food. Well, yeah, I don't want to be in pain anymore. That's not worth any amount of money. And it'd be pretty stupid to be like, let's say Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, he died at 56. I think he was worth, off the top of my head, $10 billion when he died at 56. So, you know, you could have all the money in the world and you die young for your eating choices. What is the point of that? I'm sure all three of us would not accept $1 billion if we were only going to live to 56. You know, life is worth more than that. I'm sure Steve Jobs on his deathbed, if you said, hey, Steve, if you pay this $10 billion right now, every cent that you've got, but it gains you another year on this earth, I bet he would do it. I bet he would pay every single cent that he had to have another dollar, or so to have another year here. So I'm just saying, we're talking about expense. Well, it's more expensive. Well, you can't really put a price on being healthy. There really is no way to describe it to someone who has never experienced full health. And the concept of dying young, we might not think it happens to, it might not happen to you, but I'm in the business, man. I tell you, people die young. You know, you might not see it coming. It's not a threat. It's just like, it is a consequence of your choices. Accidents do happen, and we can do our best to avoid them. But eating the wrong foods is a choice we make every day. And it can and will contribute directly to our longevity.
Yeah. What I think terrifies me the most are parents that make poor decisions for their kids' eating habits. And watching, you know, childhood obesity, it's super sad, because not only do you have like the bullying, but you also have just the depletion of self-confidence. You have them kind of losing hope, early depression, you know, the obvious health issues. But parents who are, I mean, my wife and I aren't the tiniest people, right? But we make good food choices for our kids because we understand that is where the problem lies, right? So it's very rare that they get happy meals and things like that. They would much rather eat fruit than they would most sweets. But then seeing other kids who are maybe twice their weight, even more sometimes. When is it too late to kind of remedy those types of things with alternative medicine, or is it ever too late?
No, it's never too late. As long as someone's alive, they can improve. Okay. It's a general rule. As long as someone's alive, they can improve. And the tides are turning, guys. Like, I said this twice already. The business is booming. Everybody's interested in alternative health these days.
Right.
And, you know, when I first started in this business, it's like almost 9 years ago now, I'm in my eighth year now, soon it'll be the ninth year, there was no gluten-free options, really.
Mm-hmm.
And now I live in a tiny, tiny town at the edge of civilization, literally. And my grocery store has a wicked health food section, supplement section. Like, you can buy all kinds of stuff. Just these products didn't exist, right? This market demand didn't exist just a few short years ago. And it wasn't cool just a few short years ago. Right. And there still might be some people who snicker at, you know, you saying, oh, I'd like that in a bowl instead of it, you know, or I'm gluten-free. It was a joke for a little bit. You know, we all saw the South Park episode, which I love that episode, by the way. It was a really great episode where they flipped the food pyramid upside down. Yeah, that was fantastic. Those guys are so clever.
Those wieners explosion.
Yeah, it was a joke. It was a joke for a little bit. People getting onto this. But everyone thought it was a fad, right? Everyone thought it was like, you know, all these diets that come and go. Or, you know, like CrossFit or something. Anytime something new comes people make fun CrossFit. Of it. Yeah, Tybo. People make fun of it. But gluten-free is here to stay because people get real benefits from it. It's not a joke. People come in and say, well, my gosh, I feel so good. In our business, I told you, people message me every day and say, hey, man, this advice you gave me just changed everything. I lost all this weight. I did this and that. Gluten-free is top of the list because that's the thing that people don't have to buy from me. That's the thing that you can just hear and do right now, today. Get rid of it. Learn about it. Learn about the gravy. Yeah. Learn about the soy sauce. Learn about all these little hidden sources. Get rid of it. Boom, you can change your life. And yeah, it is here to stay. These changes are being made. The tide is turning. And let me also say, yes, it's unfortunate that in general, the American and Canadian and so on, that our populations are still doing quite poorly health-wise, but it's not for lack of trying.
Right.
It's caused by the bad advice from the system, from the regular media, from doctors, from governments. They're the ones that give bad advice, and it just confuses people. Mm-hmm. But look at this. I mean, the government started demonizing smoking, for example. You guys, we talked about smoking on the last episode that I was on, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So they told everyone to stop smoking. And because they said, oh, it would get rid of disease, basically it'll get rid of heart disease, it'll get rid of lung cancer and emphysema and all the throat cancer and larynx cancer and all this other stuff, stomach cancer, even they're just, everything's caused by smoking. So they
cancer,
said,
cancer,
right?
cancer.
If it's not caused by smoking, it's caused by cholesterol, saturated fat, and salt. So they told people to give up all those things. And guess what? They did. Smoking was over 50% in America. Now it's under 20%. That's a massive, massive cultural shift. That's because people actually do want to do better. It's below 10% in Canada and Australia, so they say.
Damn.
Not up where I live. I live in a deep country, and it's still at 50% or something like that.
Probably 40%. Japan. Japan's probably up there too.
Oh, Japan is one of the smokiest nations on earth.
Yeah, and they live the longest.
Actually, currently right now, Hong Kong lives the longest, but the Chinese are also heavy smokers too. And they're actually increasing.
I don't know if I believe where that statistic came from.
Yeah, it's tough to look at nations in a small place like Hong Kong and stuff. But yeah, okay. So my point is, people listen. Yeah. There's more gym memberships in America by far than any other country. So it's not for being lazy and it's not for being stupid. The American people have, by and large, listened to the advice on how to be healthier. And they are, by and large, trying to be healthier. And that's why fads keep coming in, by the way. A few years ago, it was vegan, and it was paleo for a minute, and then keto came in strong. Right now, it's carnivore, but carnivore, this fad happened so quickly that it's already on its way out. But the reason that these fads keep coming and keep going is because people keep trying to do better. And I am given hope every single day on Instagram because unlike, you know, me just walking around my town, my super blue-collar gold mining town at the edge of civilization, on Instagram, I see that there is a massive tide of people who are trying so hard to do well. Right. They're just being given all kinds of contradictory information, and it's the job of people like me to filter it for them and help it make sense for them. But it's not for lack of trying. That's just what I wanted to throw in here. People did listen. People did give up smoking. People did give up cholesterol and saturated fat. Didn't work. Neither of those things work. heart disease and lung cancer and all that stuff didn't go away because it was bad advice. It was wrong advice. It was not the correct cause of these problems. People did give up salt and all this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They did listen. They do want to do better. All they need is the right information, and they will do better. And some of these things are catching on now. Thomas Kuhn, in an excellent book, one of my favorite books, mandatory reading, in my opinion. It's on my mandatory reading list on my website, notusbooks.org, in the review section, mandatory reading. Thomas Kuhn, The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, basically says that science progresses one funeral at a time. You know, the old guard has to die out. People, especially professionals, when you become a professional, you also are given an ego with that, more or less, most cases. Right. You tend to continue believing what you were taught by the people that you respect, your teachers and your colleagues and all this stuff, and you tend to die with those ideas. Mm-hmm. New ideas come in from the new generation who question the old generation. The old generation doesn't question themselves, just in general. Doctors keep giving out bad advice their whole career. They tend to not step back and actually question it. They still get paid whether you die on the operating table or not. They get paid no matter what the results are.
That's fucking brutal, my guy. Calm down.
100%,
I've never heard anybody put it like that.
Yeah, they get paid no matter what. No matter what the results are. We don't get paid unless you get results. You're not going to come back and keep buying products if it doesn't actually give you the results. So we actually need to help you get a result. Doctors get paid whether you die or not. Whether your diabetes gets worse or not. Whether you gain weight or not. They can just keep spitting the same advice and never have to reevaluate themselves. Me, if I give bad advice and someone comes back and says, hey man, I took your advice and the problem's not gone away, off. I am forced to reevaluate what happened. I'm forced to look further. Right. I'm forced to look for some other cause. Okay, it wasn't the first thing I thought. Okay, what else could this be? I have to. Doctors don't have to do that. And anyways, the Structure of Scientific Revolutions is only one major book that really, really dives deep in this, showing that the new guard is basically the ones that bring in new ideas. So my point here is that these old bad ideas that everything was caused by smoking and lack of exercise and cholesterol and saturated fat and salt consumption, that is dying out because the people are smarter than the doctors and they have to actually reevaluate for themselves because doctors won't reevaluate for them. The American people, especially, who own more gym memberships than any country on earth, they have to step back eventually and say, hey, you know what, I've been running on this treadmill every day for 4 years and I've actually gained 15 pounds. I'm guessing now that exercise actually isn't the key to me losing my weight, so maybe I have to look elsewhere. And there are a new generation of doctors coming in now, like medical doctors, a whole bunch of them, especially the ones that are popular on Instagram in my world, you know, that are actually understanding now what we've already understood in agriculture for thousands of years, that salt is a necessary and essential ingredient, essential nutrient. You know, the old school things like bone meal and broths and all the all this stuff. I mean, it's the new guard that's bringing these ideas back into the table that are saying, hey, drugs aren't the answer, because the old guard is still saying you need to take your statin drugs and you need to, if you have blood pressure, you need to take this blood pressure drug. It's the new doctors coming along to finally reevaluate that. And that is happening right now. I just want to put some optimism on the table that I see this massive tide every day. I live in this tide. You know, I swim in this pool every day, and the pool is getting bigger. The party is getting bigger, and there's less and less of that snickering about the gluten-free and this and that. I mean, it is becoming much, much more normal to be healthy. And I'll throw the mic back to you guys, but let me just say that the guy that brought me into this was a bus driver and a truck driver before that, and a miner before that. I worked in the mines. He's a regular everyday dude. He drank whiskey, smoked cigarettes.
Hell yeah.
My buddies who introduced me to the vitamins first, like that guy, he trained me, Big Nelson. He trained me. You know, he's the one that gave me the books. He's the one that brought me to the events. He's all this stuff. But it was my buddies that showed me the vitamins. And, you know, we're not joggers and health nuts. We're not going, even though I worked at the gym back in the day, like my friends and myself, we grew up in the lower class, basically blue collar. We grew up smoking, drinking, doing drugs, doing bad stuff. You know, we're bad kids. We're criminals, by the truth. And yet, they're the ones that introduced me to the vitamins. You know, take this, man. We love this stuff, you know, super casually. And we're smoking joints while drinking it, you know? just saying that being healthy has actually become a thing that you can see in such characters as that. And that's the type of character I was as well. It's not just for health nerds anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Well, why don't we take a brief moment here and learn what gluten actually is? And this is why I stay away from gluten personally. So if you're watching, you'll know what this is, but you can listen and kind of find out what happens here.
So what is gluten? Yes, thank you. Simply put, gluten is the protein found in flour when you take all the starch away.
Flour is, of course, just wheat. And when you add a liquid to flour, you get dough. Dough that makes bread, donuts, pasta, and all the hooey-free foods that humans enjoy. Now, if we wash the dough of all its starch, we can actually distill the wheat down, minus the water, minus the starch, and what we're left with is pure gluten. Not a bioweapon, just harmless flour protein.
Then eat it.
Excuse me?
If it's not dangerous, then eat that pure concentrated gluten, okay?
Yeah, all right.
Oh my god! You see that? His dick flying off.
Yeah, don't risk it.
Can I jump in and say that there's actual truth to this?
Oh, what?
It's not that it's gonna fly off, but let's make it make sense at least for some people. If people think it's a joke. It's not a joke. While the gluten inflames your intestines, just like poison ivy inflames your skin if you put it on your skin, that's called a contact dermatitis. If you rub poison ivy or poison oak on your skin, you get contact dermatitis. It's this itchy, rashy, elevated, inflamed area. Gluten does the same thing on the inside. Just like if you swallowed poison ivy, it would irritate and inflame your intestines, just like the skin on your outside. It's called contact enteritis when it's on the inside. So your intestine's full of these tiny finger-like villi. It's like a shag carpet inverted. It's actually more like velvet. If you cut open an intestine, an autopsy, it should be like velvet, which is all these tiny, tiny little fibers, basically, villi, little finger-like villi. And they have all these even tinier microvilli all over them. That's there to increase the surface area so that particles of food can fall in between. Like magic school bus. You guys seen a magic school bus? They enter the intestine and they're in this... Like forest, basically, inside of a tube.
Back when kids could watch cartoons.
Yeah, when cartoons actually taught you something. I'm pretty sure Magic School Bus taught me more than school itself.
Oh, yeah.
So the particles
fall
in
between. Shout out, Miss Frizzle.
Miss Fee's in the house.
You should bring that show back, but it'd probably be too woke.
It's on Netflix. They got a new one on Netflix.
Oh, my gosh. I'm scared to watch it.
Yeah, it's some of them aren't too bad.
Okay, well, maybe I'll check it out. Food particles fall in between that stuff so it can be absorbed. Well, if they inflame, then there's less surface area because now there's less room in between the villi. So if they're inflamed, you're going to absorb less nutrients. That's where nutrients are absorbed, particularly the fatty nutrients. You don't absorb fatty nutrients in the stomach. They're supposed to go into the intestine. Then they're met with bile from the gallbladder. Bile is like soap, basically. It breaks up the fats into very small little pieces. Because your stomach acid breaks up proteins and carbs and stuff like that. It doesn't break up the fats properly. So this happens in the intestine. Gallbladder releases bile. Bile breaks it up like soap. And then now it's in tiny little particles for it to be absorbed. But if your intestines are inflamed, all nutrient absorption is going to be impacted to some degree, especially the vitamins and the fatty nutrients. Those fatty nutrients are key for your testosterone, right? We're talking about the South Park where his penis flies off. Well, a lot of dudes come to me, kids, like 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds. One 16-year-old kid just came to me today. Says, hey, having low testosterone, having trouble getting it up, having erectile dysfunction, all this stuff. Well, testosterone is made from cholesterol. Cholesterol is the master steroid in the body. It makes all your steroid hormones, including testosterone, and including estrogen and progesterone. Progesterone's the pregnancy hormone, progestation, basically. So you can very easily be infertile if you're not absorbing these nutrients, cholesterol and its other partners, the other fatty nutrients, which those are the main ones that are impacted if you are having an inflamed intestine from eating gluten. So this absolutely is connected. It's directly connected. You want to increase your vigor as a male, your fertility as a female, or correct any hormone problem, you very well may need to go gluten-free for any of that to happen, regardless of what you supplement with, because if those intestines are inflamed, doesn't matter whether those nutrients come from food or from supplements, you're still going to have a hard time absorbing them. We can come in with mega doses, sure. Talk about expensive before. It was going to be more expensive if you have to take bigger doses of high-quality supplements just to have a chance of absorbing some of them. And your best bet is just to get rid of this antagonist. You know, if you knew it was like poison ivy on the inside, if it was told to us in those terms, then we would avoid it. And a lot of people, they are learning this, they are avoiding it, and they are absorbing more nutrients even without supplementing, and they are improving things like their sex drive, their sexual performance, and just their overall vigor, their masculinity, their femininity. Because this, you know, this matters for women too. I mean, women can grow beards if they have a hormone problem. Right? Well, if you're not absorbing and metabolizing your hormones correctly, you could have a problem in both directions, and both sexes can have problems.
Right.
I must have a lot of cholesterol because I got no problem getting my shit rock hard. That dude has a mind of its own anyways. You know what I'm saying?
This is where we're headed, huh?
Well, I'm just putting it out there. Anybody wanted to know? You, like,
I'm sure most of your audience is male. Most of my audience is male, and yeah, you want to know a very simple thing to make you more of a man? Get rid of gluten. And I've got full grown men that come to me all the time. You know, I know they would be embarrassed about it, but I'm fortunate that they trust me as a professional in this, and they tell me these things. But yeah, plenty of men, young and old, have completely lost their vigor, and the foods you eat is going to be one of the biggest components there. Sugar matters too. I mean, lots of things matter, but I mean, I know you guys are whiskey, beer, and conspiracy. And by the way, the gluten's not in the whiskey; it's been distilled out. Beer can be gluten free, but there's a lot of beer drinkers when they're drinking gluten beers, and like that's the main problem, man. Mm. Not just with these testosterone problems, especially with gout, things like that. Gout, acid problems. I very, very rarely come across a gout case that isn't a beer drinker. And again, they could just switch. They could switch to rice beer. They could switch to a gluten-free beer, no problem. Mm, they could switch to wine, even better, or even tequila. I like tequila. Tequila's made from agave. You know, a lot of people are trying to switch from processed sugar to agave syrup, thinking it's better, and it is marginally. But you want to decrease the total amount of sugar either way. But I'm just saying, tequila is actually made from a pretty healthy thing to begin with. So, talking about other options here, it's a pretty interesting option to me. Also, in the fact that you don't have to drink very much of it to get the buzz that you're looking for. You can dilute it or something, but I like that. I like that you don't have to drink that much of it. Yeah. Even myself, I feel like if I'm drinking wine, I just have to drink too much of it. Now I'm full of liquids, you know?
Yeah.
I've got to urinate all night and all this stuff.
Teeth are purple.
Just give me a shot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I've talked about it too on the show. Like, there's a gluten-free beer because there's a Sprouts right next to our house, like right there. And so I get this gluten-free beer, and it's $10 for a six-pack, but it's 5%, so it's not bad. It's a microbrew, but I could drink all six, and I don't, like, wake up with headaches. I don't wake up too groggy, maybe a little bit, depending on how I was feeling afterwards. But if I drink any other type of beer that has gluten in it, I will get thick phlegm. Like instantaneously as I drink it. But with that gluten-free beer that I drink, I don't get phlegm at all. No, like there's no reaction from my body to get something out.
Kind of like what we talked about last week. It's like an allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like to throw something in here if I will, guys, if I'm allowed.
Of course.
I know we're just kind of freeballing it here today. I've been saying something recently that I like it, you know, now and then. My job is all about repeating myself. I mean, I look today, we've done over 30,000 Q&As on just the one account on Instagram. And it actually, Instagram's been blocking me from saving it to the highlights too, most of the time too. So I honestly, across all the accounts, it's probably 50,000 that I've done. 50,000 Q&As.
Wild.
So most of those are repeats. I mean, a lot of them are repeats. We get asked the same stuff all the time. But now and then I come across some new phrase or something that I'm just like, oh, that works. And I get messages and stuff like, oh, that was a light bulb moment for me or something like that. So let's go into this gluten thing, because you can hear a lot of people thinking when we're talking about this stuff. Why wasn't it a problem in the past, right? This is one of the very basic objections to it. Why is it just a problem now? And some people will come in and say, oh, it's because of the GMO. Oh, it's because of the pesticides and the glyphosate. And even me, in the past, I would focus mostly on the idea that breads in the past would have other ingredients in them. It wouldn't just be flour. Flour was hard to mill. Flour was hard to make. You know, you had to grow it. You had to beat it by hand, or, you know, mill it with like an ox that like walks around in a circle all day and drives the shaft, or on a water mill or something. But typically, like, a town would have one water mill. The mill would service the entire town, and it still wouldn't grind it into this super fine flour that we have today. Just like that thing we were talking about with the surface area with the villi, when they inflame this left surface area, well, when the flour is not milled that finely, there's less surface area. They're bigger mm-hmm. particles, right? It's like the aggregate in concrete. You guys know about concrete. You want nice, strong concrete, you use small aggregate because there's more surface area, so it bonds together strong. You use like sand, right? Little tiny things. And if you want to get cheaper, like driveway, we were looking at our driveway today here in Texas, this house we're renting, and we're like, it's mid-level, it's mid-grade concrete because it's got these bigger rocks in it.
Right.
And at my house up north in the country, the steps that we use to step up onto our house, you can see these big rocks in it. So it's really cheap concrete, and it's really weak because there's big pieces in it. So I'm just saying that when there's less surface area of these big gluten particles, they would do less damage, right? Those little tiny, tiny particles, there's more surface area total. There's more surface area to go and inflame your intestines. Basically, that's one. Okay. There would also
It's like buckshot versus like FMJ.
Yeah, great analogy. Well,
we have gluten-free flour. So what is the difference between those two? Is it the milling process itself?
No, it's not. It's made with different grains.
Okay.
Gluten is wheat, barley, and rye primarily. Right. We also throw oats, quinoa, and buckwheat on the list. I actually added quinoa to the list.
Quinoa was good.
Well, dude,
get yourself some couscous.
Well, back to that. Let me return to that.
I eat couscous too.
No, quinoa is couscous is not gluten free, guys.
Damn it.
There's other grains. Fuck. I know. I mean, there's other grains that are not like einkorn and stuff. Like, I know it's not just wheat, barley, and rye, but yeah, you've got to Google the grain before you eat it. And couscous is not, it is gluten. That's gluten. Let me return to quinoa.
Just pure concentrated gluten.
Let me return to quinoa. So I was going, actually it is.
Oh God.
Oh no, so my dick is amazing.
In the past, I don't know if I've mentioned this phrase before, and this is not the phrase that I was excited about, but I have to lay some groundwork here. I don't know if I've mentioned the nursery rhyme, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman, be he live or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread, right? Jack and the Beanstalk. I'll grind his bones to make my bread. Because the peasant, the homesteader out there in the primitive environment, they have bones. They use bones. They make bone soups meal out of the bones. And what's left, they grind them up and they make bone meal. Mm-hmm. And that is included in with anything that they would use flour with. They would use bone meal. Number two, they would also use ashes, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about this in the past. Yeah. How ash was one of the most important sources of plant-derived minerals. Yep. This is one of the reasons we have so many mineral deficiency diseases, is because we don't have these mineral sources in our environment anymore. We don't use wood anymore. We don't use sea moss for burning, for cooking and heating, so we don't have wood ashes. Wood ashes is concentrated plant-derived minerals. Not only would people put that in their gardens mm-hmm. and in their compost heaps and all this stuff, they would also put it in their salt. Excuse me. They would cut their salt with it. They would put it in their food as a thickener, as a condiment, mm-hmm. it tastes good. This is the white ash, culinary ash. Yeah. It's in the center of the fire pit. So when people made bread in the 1800s, even in the rural country of America before the full electrification in like the 1950s, people in their farms would still be putting the wood ashes in the garden, and they'd still be cooking with the wood ashes because their grandma did and their grandma before that did, and that's just the way they do it. So your bread wouldn't just be flour and sugar and egg. It would be a little bit of flour that was not as finely milled. It may or may not have any sugar in it at all. It might have some fruits in it, might have some vegetables in it, might have some meat in it, probably will have an egg in it, might have some yeast, might have some this and that, but it's going to probably have bone meal in it and wood ashes. So what happens when instead of using a cup of flour, you use, 4 tablespoons of flour and then the rest of it is bone meal and wood ash? Well, this bread is suddenly a lot more nutritious, and a lot of those nutrients may even strengthen your body enough to overcome some of that inflammation and so on and so on. But back to the objection at hand, people say, well, why is gluten so bad now? And I just gave you my favorite explanation for that. And people talk about the glyphosate and whatever, GMO and whatever, and all this stuff, and the fact that our bodies are weaker overall and all this. But think about the Bible, man. Jesus had to heal the sick. Mm-hmm. Why was there sick people back then, right? This was the point that I've loved using recently. Why did Galen have a job? Why did Hippocrates have a job? Why did they talked about stomach pains and problems and stuff? Hippocrates was using apple cider vinegar and cabbage juice and garlic and stuff to help stomach pains and stomach problems. Yeah. Why was there stomach problems, right? Because grains have been a problem for people ever since people have been eating grains, at least as far as we know from writing. As far as writing goes back, as far as our records of civilization goes back, there have been diseases of civilization, and especially those associated with grains. And stomach problems go back to the Bible. You know, read any old text, any historical text. There is no society that was completely free of these problems. The only exceptions that I can find anywhere are the handful of populations, and they're mostly primitive, away from their main, like they're not part of Rome or Egypt or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They're just smaller populations that are more or less self-sufficient and away from governments. Like
bush people?
Well, like the Sardinians, or, you know, like people in the Swiss Alps, and people on the...
the hoingy boingy.
The islands off of Scotland that were studied by Dr. Weston A. Price in his monumental work, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, or even the Hunza people. The Hunza people are still currently, you know, they've always been considered the longest of people on Earth. Anyways, these people, one of the, they're the exception. What do? They ferment their grains first. Mm. They ferment them first so that the bacteria basically completely change the molecule, and they do actually destroy quite a lot of the bad stuff. I mentioned earlier the whiskey and these other distilled drinks, they don't have any gluten left. It's been destroyed.
Right.
You know, it's down to, you know, a couple of parts per million or something like that. It's not enough to even set a celiac off. Mm-hmm. So that is the only exception, and just wanted to point that out, that many people watching would be like, well, my grandma ate gluten, it didn't do anything to her. Well, it probably did, you know. Yeah. Oh, they were eating wheat back in Jesus's day. Yeah, well, it's probably causing problems back in Jesus's day. Yeah. And that's why Lazarus, there were lepers, and
skin started falling off, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all kinds of problems. So let me hit quinoa quick. Just quinoa's a weird one. Dr. Wallach is the guy who I, you know, basically give his message, translated version of his message. That's what I do. Quinoa is not on his list. We put quinoa on the list. I put quinoa on the list because
false prophet.
When people go gluten free, it's true that those are the most problematic ones: wheat, barley, rye, oats, and buckwheat, and yeah, the other more exotic grains like couscous. Anything that has gluten in it, they are the worst ones. And even buckwheat and oats, even though they don't have technically have gluten, they have other proteins. All foods have many, many different proteins, and the ones in oats and buckwheat are basically just as aggressive, if not worse, than the gluten ones. Now, quinoa isn't actually that bad. But the problem is, when a lot of people, not everyone, but some people who are going gluten-free, we found out, like, when they come back to us a month, 2 months, 3 months later, and they're like, hey, I still have my Crohn's disease, I still have my IBS, I still have my diverticulitis, or whatever. Why? Because we figured out that a lot of people were eating quinoa instead, but, like, a lot of quinoa. You know, like, instead of using, like, rice as the base of their meal, they were using quinoa. Or they'd go to the Moroccan restaurant that they love. It's their favorite one. And they're making these big dishes full of quinoa or couscous. And so that was the big problem. And they were basically showing all the exact same symptoms as gluten intolerance, even though it's not gluten. So some quinoa in moderation is not a big deal after you fix your digestion. I've done it and tried it too, to put my own hypothesis to the test here. Had some pasta and stuff, and actually just had some quinoa by itself even. My digestion is perfect. I had a little bit, did nothing to me. If I had a little bit of gluten, your gut changes, by the way, once you go gluten-free. Your gut flora, your bacteria change. So you actually, you become more sensitive to it when you quit it.
Yeah, so that's true as fuck.
If you eat quinoa while you're trying to fix your digestion, you may not fix your digestion. But if you wait until you're completely fixed, then a little bit is not going to be a big deal. But again, a lot of people, they go gluten-free, and either they start eating quinoa actually as like a dish, like a main dish itself, like a quinoa salad. That's a problem. It's not very common. But what's more common is they just go to
milk
the health
on my quinoa. I eat it like a cereal.
They go to the health food section and they buy so-called gluten-free pasta. And instead of getting just like rice pasta or something, they get one with quinoa in it and some other grains, or just tapioca starch or something like that. But it's the quinoa, you know, so they're eating this so-called gluten-free pasta and it's still causing a problem. They haven't fixed their digestion yet. Or same thing, cookies and crackers, you know, read the labels on this stuff. So if you're trying to go gluten-free, just realize that quinoa is not your friend in there. And you can have a little bit of quinoa once you fix yourself, but if you're not fixed yet, get rid of the quinoa.
Right.
Right. Dude, that's so true about like eliminating gluten in your stomach changes. Because if I ever know that I'm having gluten, like that night or the next day is rough. Like my stool changes and everything else. And it's always like a real quick flush out of my body.
But then it's like I always remind myself, I'm like, yeah, that's why we don't eat that shit anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of interesting. Ryan, let me ask you this. Like, this is kind of more of like a personal question for me, though. But like, I've always been like a super skinny guy. And like my uncles on my mom's side are that way, too. And like, I even tried, like, back when I was lifting weights, because I don't lift weights anymore. I was like taking supplements and eating like 4 or 5 times a day. And I swear to God, my body just shits it all out. Like, if I eat more, I just shit more. And I don't really like, I don't put weight on. And I was like super sick as a kid, and then they just kind of assumed that like all the stuff that like generally speaking puts weight on people, like I'm anaphylactic to. So for almost all my life, I couldn't have like dairy at all, cow's milk, goat's milk, cheese, nothing like that. And then I had to eat this kind of like off beaten diet, which is actually like the diet basically we're on now. But like you had mentioned at that time, like it was not readily available that my mom could even go find dairy-free stuff. Mm. Like she'd have to like go into this like tavern with this like sheet on the wall. And, like,
yeah.
They'd have to like knock 3 times.
Answer 3 riddles.
Before you can get in. But what do you think? That's just like, that's just who I am. This is how I'm always going to be body style wise.
I do not think so. I'm also slim, and I also come from a slim heritage, basically, tall and slim. I would
it's
ask
a bitch to questions. Find shirts, isn't it?
It's annoying, especially in America. It's not made for us at all.
Yeah. Oh, you're tall, so you're fat. No, god damn it.
Honestly, yeah, you need a tailor. Jeez. So, I mean, gluten is actually one of those things that tends to cause people to not be able to gain weight, too. We tend to think of it making people fat, but that malabsorption thing, you need those same nutrients for your metabolism. So the tree can fall one way or the other. It's just more common that you'll gain weight. But there's people who are shriveled up like a raisin. They can't gain weight. They're like 90 pounds and, you know, 5'9 or something like that. And, yeah, they come and they're struggling to gain weight, and they go gluten-free and they can get better. Now, for you, I would just ask, have you done a heavy-duty probiotic regiment in the past? That would be the main mm-hmm. thing.
No, not I never really got into probiotics a whole lot.
Well, you mentioned dairy. I would say, like, was that dairy ever raw? Because that would probably do the trick.
So we talked about this on the show before, and this is something that I just recently started doing, was after the wife and I went to Ireland and I ate butter over there and did not have a reaction. Gordo from those conspiracy guys, I had lunch with him out there, and he was like, are you sure you're not just allergic to what they give the cows versus like the actual byproduct of the cow? And I was like, see, that makes more sense, because I'm also anaphylactic to all antibiotics. I can have like 2.
Yeah.
So when I started going with that method of thinking, we'll call it, I started trying, like, it's I don't know if it's specific to Ireland, but it works for me and I'm sticking with it. Like, I can eat butter from Ireland.
Well,
no problem. I've also had cheese from Ireland. No problem.
Yeah, it's because in Ireland, you're not allowed to butcher an animal that still has any trace antibiotics in it. So if an animal does get sick there and it is on antibiotics, then if that thing was up to butcher and sell to market, they pull it off. Because by law, none of their meat can have trace amounts of any medication, and especially antibiotics.
Yeah.
So I would say probiotics would be your main thing. If you have some kind of an aversion to antibiotics, if you're not gaining weight, I would say that's because the bacteria in your large intestine are not doing their job, or there's not enough of them. You just need to flood your body with probiotics. That would be sort of your next step. And you could do it with raw dairy. You're still in Texas?
No. We're out in Kansas, back in Kansas.
You got to find out if you can get raw dairy there, but even easier to take a product. I mean, sell products. The products. You can get the product microbiome, by the way.
Yeah, we take them.
You just need a heavier dose. You need to really fortify it. And you don't need to take it forever. You can even maybe buy one from the health food store, but you want a good one. I think microbiome is $60, ultimate microbiome. Uh-huh. You already know how to purchase the products and stuff. I would add that in for 1 month, and honestly, that would probably do the trick.
Yeah, see, that's the one thing I'm curious too about with the probiotics that I could eat, if like, because I tell you, man, like, I've gone into anaphylactic shock like 4 times in my life that I can remember, and it's fucking terrifying. So it's always scary to be like, let's try raw milk, you know? Give me the glass.
We've been taught to be scared about it. We've been taught to be scared about it, but there's so much to say about raw dairy. I mean,
yeah. No, I don't mean just like just raw dairy. I just mean dairy in general, like anything, you know what I mean? Because I know that milk with antibiotics will fuck me up. But it's also like, okay, does that mean that raw milk won't? Because if it's raw, does that mean that it hasn't been vaccinated and it hasn't had an antibiotic? Because I don't know if it has to do with the pasteurization. I think it's just the fact that there's still a trace amount of whatever is in their byproduct that when I ingest it, my body is like, shut it down.
Well, I'm looking for you right now if there's certified raw milk in Kansas. Certified means it has its own process of being allowed to be called certified, which is much cleaner. Yes, the animal is treated much better. The criteria is way stricter than regular dairy at all. So
right,
you can get raw milk in Kansas only at the farm where it was produced.
Oh wow.
So you may have to look into that a little bit, but you can,
right?
You can get it.
Yeah. So I just kind of wonder if that hypothesis is correct about, like, at least for me specifically, like for me.
Yeah.
That I'm actually just allergic to what they're giving the cows.
I think it's even more than antibiotics. I mean, the cows and stuff, they're being fed grains and soy and all this stuff that's, it's not good for us to begin with, and it's usually GMO grains and soy and stuff. So
right,
yeah, you're not just what you eat, you are what you eat eats.
Right.
If your meat is eating grains, then you're eating grains, basically. You are getting exposed to that. Not exactly the same as directly eating it, but more or less, yeah. Mm-hmm. But honestly, back to your weight gaining thing, it's probably just that you just never fully refortified the gut, and you don't have to get raw milk to do that. I mean, the market in general is pretty good at making probiotics. It's not something unique to us, but the product that I recommended as well, the microbiome, it has something special in it too called I-26. I-26 is a hyperimmune egg powder. Hyperimmune egg basically works like a vaccine is supposed to work. Like, you know, the way they teach us in school, like, oh, we give you this version, this dead version of a pathogen, and then you form antibodies against it. Okay, well, this I-26, they exposed chickens to 26 pathogens, and I think it's actually more than 26 now. I think it's like 28, but they kept the name. They exposed the chickens to 26 pathogens, and then the eggs that they lay are actually hyperimmune to those pathogens. So not just that they're resistant to them, but they actually kill them. It actually kills those pathogens inside of you when you consume that egg. So yeah, the microbiome, it's loaded with probiotics. It's loaded with enzymes as well. But it also has a dose of that I-26 powder in it. And it's basically magic, honestly. That one product is by far my favorite way to start people these days. Mm-hmm. You know, back when you guys first had me on and this and that, honestly, I didn't have it down to a science. I kind of took things case by case, and now, yeah, we've dealt with thousands more people, and I'm honed now. Right. And one of the ways that I love starting people now is with the digestion protocol. Got a video explaining that on YouTube, and then I made these packs, these digestion packs, and by far my favorite way to start people is with either of the packs that I made. I made two that have this microbiome product in it, and honestly, even if they just did the microbiome by itself for a month, I'm happy. It's a fantastic start that gets all the good stuff into the guts so that the guts can actually do their job properly.
Right.
We were talking earlier about gluten and bile in the small intestine. That's like, as soon as you pass the stomach, it goes into the small intestine. Well, the large intestine is where most of the probiotics live. And they do a heck of a lot, especially in assimilating and B vitamins and recycling them and stuff. And that just has so much to do with your metabolism that
into that. Ryan, how many fucking books do you read like in a week?
I've been crushing it lately.
I can. Yeah, I know. I've seen your Instagram. He's like, Jeff, I'm not always another one, and I was like, Jesus Christ.
Well, the funny thing is, so we were talking about my string of bad luck, right, at the beginning of this, getting squeezed on some platforms and banned on other platforms. Well, I've also had bad luck with customs, man, over the years, and customs and borders and all this stuff. And I had a podcast talking about it, but my podcast is gone now. So I was banned from America all winter, actually, and I'm married to an American, so it's really, really frustrating and annoying and hard on us. You know, so I was at my house all winter.
Did you try going through the South?
I just can't. I'm banned. That's it. I had to wait. And then I waited and I came and it's fine. No, it wasn't fine. It was hard actually. It was a nightmare. I'm not even going to talk about it. But the point is, I ran out of books at my house, man. I live way
keep
up
running,
north.
Canadian, yeah. Keep running.
There's no books. There's no bookstore at my house or in my town. You know, there's no bookstore for like 200 miles, basically.
Damn. God damn.
So, yeah, I had no books. I ran out of books. I'm reading old books, books that I read 10 years ago and stuff. And the whole time, I'm buying books on thriftbooks.com because they have free shipping in America, but I'm sending them here to Texas.
Right.
And by the way, thriftbooks.com is another business that refused to sponsor me, man. I'm like begging them.
Really?
Begging them. Give me an affiliate link. Come on, please.
Jeez.
Oh, man. Anyways. Just I'd love to vouch for a business that I use, you know,
right,
and I
right.
love their free shipping thing, and I hate Amazon, even though they make me money, you know. I don't
right.
screw them. So, yeah, that was even before the affiliate thing. Screw them. I'm fine taking their money, but
you know. Ryan, what's their website called again?
Thriftbooks.com.
Thriftbooks.
Love thriftbooks.com. So I have stacks of books here. This is where I'm getting at. I was looking so forward to it. I'm reading old books at my house. I'm reading textbooks, and like, oh my gosh, I just can't wait to get to Texas. I've got like 100 books sitting there waiting for me, and they're all great books. You know, I have all these followers on Instagram and stuff. People give me all these recommendations. I go in and I check it out on thriftbooks.com. Half the time it's $4. Boom, I buy it.
Damn.
You know, $15 free shipping. So I've there's literally stacks of awesome books here. So that's why I've been crushing them, especially health books too.
You can get Mein Kampf on their website and they won't sponsor you. That's whack.
Crazy. I know. There's some good stuff on thriftbooks.com. There's some
really
obscure stuff. And a lot of them are $4, $5. And you get points. So I get these free books all the time.
Cool.
Right? I think you buy like $30 or something worth of books and you get a free book. It is sweet.
Nice.
So, I've been crushing books because there's tons of books here. And that whole thing about me not being able to smoke weed here, you know, I don't get to.
Yeah.
I don't have much else to do. I do the business. and then I read. So, yeah, reading a lot lately.
Yeah, that's great, man. Yeah, we just bought my son like 12 new books.
It's so worth it. That's another thing, too, that's becoming cool. And I'm really happy to see that. You know, back when I was a kid, you would get snickered at. Nerd.
Right.
You're reading, you're a nerd.
Yeah,
I quit doing drugs and I started reading books, and man, it changed my life. Really,
difference.
Really did.
Yeah, yeah. He's super into like the bad guy books. We bought him the whole Percy Jackson series, and we bought him a whole nother series. But I'm just fortunate that he loves to read. He hates to read out loud, but he loves to read. He's already read like the first 10 bad guy books, and he just keeps trucking along. I think, like you said, I think it's something that's gotten cool again with kids, which is awesome.
Oh, and then no matter what it is too, like just reading makes you use your brain. It's crazy that, a lot of these academics still think that technology is enabling us to learn better. I could not disagree more. 100%. The more time we spend on these technologies, the dumber and dumber we get, the less we use our brain. You know, we don't even remember directions anymore. We don't even remember where we are, what way is north or anything. We just rely on these phones and everything. And yeah, I mean, people are watching videos instead of reading, and it's a terrible way to get information, terrible way to learn. There's nothing like reading to yourself. You read in your own voice.
Yeah.
You stop, you think. Even if it's fiction, you know, the fiction writers, in my opinion, it's harder to write fiction than it is nonfiction. Mm-hmm. So there's wisdom in almost all fiction books. And, you know, some clever line or something like that, you stop, you think about it, you repeat it to yourself, you learned something. Or maybe you thought about the world differently. Yeah, there's nothing like sculpting your brain through reading.
Yeah, fiction, science fiction especially, is almost always an allegory for something, you know.
Oh, and they're very well read and wise people in general. You know, the sci-fi and stuff, it's not really a genre that I was ever that into, but I've read enough of it to know that it's not a joke. It's not It's not something that any idiot can just write. You really, really have to know a lot about a lot to make a good piece of fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It intimidates me. I don't want to even attempt to write fiction. It's too hard, in my opinion, honestly.
Yeah. Dude, I bet you could come up with like any conspiracy throughout history and write like a fiction book about it.
Yeah, Tom Clancy characters.
Yeah, Tom Clancy does it. He gets video game deals, dude. He might be missing a market there.
Yeah, about like clandestine type shit that the government does, you know? And he's like, wink.
Yeah, I wonder what that guy actually knows.
Too much.
Well, shoot, Ryan, we've been doing this for an hour and a half now. So getting towards the end of the episode, man, I want to thank you for coming on. We talked a lot about a lot of great things. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I will say. I think this is one topic that kind of gets overlooked in, like, the conspiracy realm is, like, overall health. Mm-hmm. Like, besides don't take the vaccine, I agree. You know what I mean? Yeah. But, like, health overall. And diet especially, like, there's literally a conspiracy in that. And
yeah, that's why they pulled Ryan's podcast, dude.
Yeah, he was like, he's like, they're telling him to eat too many oranges. This is bad. This is bad for the business. But yeah, I would say this is definitely an overlooked topic in our community. So well, we're always glad to have you on to kind of shed some light in that area. And it's unfortunate that your podcast got removed, but I know you're still cranking out on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, be back. I'll never stop, man. I'm always
that's right.
Something. That's right. The health hooligan never stops. And to be honest,
can we just say too though, like, I mean, all these conspiracy people, most of them consider themselves anti-establishment and stuff like this.
Right.
Whenever you buy something processed, you are contributing to the biggest companies in the world. When you buy a box of cereal, you're paying the devil. You know, you are. And I'm not really religious. I'm just saying, just, you know, energy drinks and all this stuff. Even, you know, even if you're going to drink beer, I would say make it yourself, right? Brew it yourself if you can. You know, the more real food that you can eat, the less you're contributing to these monstrous companies,
right?
And these big conglomerations that are now
your own garden. Jesus.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that is one of the biggest acts of rebellion that you could possibly do. Mm-hmm. You know, think about in the extreme, moving out of the cities, places where you can have your own chickens and stuff like this. And
yeah,
if you're buying real foods, real ingredients, real vegetables, and you know, real meats, you're contributing less to harm, basically. But the more of your food that you actually control yourself, it doesn't mean you have to grow everything yourself or anything like that. I'm getting into hunting and fishing.
There you frankly. Go.
Yeah.
Right? This is way cleaner food. Yep. And I'm not supporting anyone like that. But you can also buy meat from farmers, guys. Yep. Like, you know, we haven't done it in a minute, but you can go and buy a quarter cow from a farmer straight up. And they're like, yo, you're going to butcher it. You're going to get another $100 off.
Yeah.
Bam, you fill your freezer. Quarter cow, half cow. Something like that. You can buy from farmers. You can support them. You can go to the Amish people. You can go to the Mennonites. You know, you can go to the Native people. And there's Native people up where we live and Amish people up where we live. You know, they'll sell you they're allowed to kill anything, actually, Natives in Canada. The rest of us need a hunting license and we need to go in hunting season, but they can kill anything anytime. And they can farm anything anytime. So, yeah, they'll even farm rabbits and all kinds of stuff. And, they'll have the deer and the caribou and a moose and all this stuff, and it's way healthier. And then you're just supporting one person or one family or one tribe or one that's great. You're not contributing to a corporation. And I'm not saying all corporations are bad. I'm just saying most of them are.
The
bigger a company gets, the more it acts like a government. And now they're actually making social policies too, right? These companies are making social policies. I named a bunch of companies that I've not happy with, Meta being one of them, Amazon being another one of them, Spotify being another one of them, Google being another one of them. These big conglomerations are censoring me, causing me problems in my life because they are attempting to set social policy. You guys, I'm sure you've seen the Bud Light fiasco and the Miller Light. You mentioned it at the beginning, right? These big companies are basically bullying the culture. They're trying to control us through controlling culture, and screw them. Don't contribute to them. So don't buy processed food at all. Look into it. Whatever your favorite snack is, it's owned by a giant conglomeration that probably owns all the other junk food in the grocery store as well. Look up to what they're into. You know, you guys know the Black Rock and the Vanguard and all this stuff. I guarantee you, your favorite foods are owned by them. And what they're doing with their money, all the bad stuff, You know, they're funding all these transgender movements and stuff. They're funding Black Lives Matter and you know, they're funding these terrorist groups that are pulling down our statues and all this stuff. And they're basically funding they're trying to fund the destruction of the nuclear family and all this stuff that you guys, I'm sure, have gone into a million times, and all your listeners would agree that, yo, I don't like that stuff. Right. Okay, well, all processed food that you buy contributes to that stuff. So stop wasting your money on it. Buy real food instead and go as close to the source as you possibly can. You are actually doing an act of rebellion in that, and you are actually taking power away from the powers that be.
That's right.
Beautifully said. And with that, we'll close the show. But before we do that, Ryan, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you, support you? And I ask this guy questions all the time. I'm always sending Ryan a message. I'm like, hey, I got this weird thing. It's like right on the inside of my butt cheek. What is that? And he's like, all right, send the picture. Let's see it. Let's get it taken care.
You don't need to send me the picture of hemorrhoids.
Dry toilet paper.
Sometimes it's all I do. My goodness.
He's like, oh, water. Dude, that's just a dingleberry, my brother. That's all that is. Nothing to freak out about.
Better.
No, but yeah, where can people find you?
Yeah, so as I said already, you can go to my website, notusbooks.org. You can see my books there that I've written. You can purchase them. I appreciate that, even though Amazon gets 40% of it. If you got a big problem with that, you can reach out to me, and we can figure out another way to do it where I cut Amazon out. I'm able to do that. Yeah. You can see the free versions of my books. Right now, it's only the video version, which is, you know, I read it to you, and you can see it on the screen. It did have audio versions, but they were taken down because my podcast was taken down. On my website, I'm currently building the archive and putting as many episodes as I have up, and I'll put a lot more on there in the future, and I will get back on the podcast at some point. I'm waiting until June, just waiting a month to see what happens. If there's a resolution by the time I get home in Canada next month, I'll see what I'm going to do by then, rather than acting before the full resolution is happened. But I've been ignored right now, so chances are I'll be starting a new one, and you'll be able to find that link on my website, notusbooks.org. There's lots of other cool stuff there, lots of other free audiobooks, and all my social media links, Instagram, YouTube. And yeah, we do free health evaluations. That's what I do for a living. You know, you said that you reach out to me all the time. I know you do, Brian, and I'll answer because that's all I do. That's my job. I don't get paid for that, but enough people buy supplements that's how I make my living, and books. Even if these companies refuse to let me in on their affiliate links and all this stuff, I try still. But yeah, there's no sponsors or anything like that. So if you want to support me, buy the books. Even, I know you pulled my website up earlier.
Yep.
I know we were talking about it earlier too, how some people have a problem with Patreon and stuff. I do have a Patreon. I just put that link on my website. And, you know, it helps. It all helps. Yeah. This is how we can do it. This is how we can spread the good word. And if you want a health evaluation, we do it for free. You reach out to me. You can email me. You find my email on the website, notusbooks.org. You can message me on Instagram. I will respond. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow, but I will respond. We're getting busier and busier. And you can take the information or leave it. Most of what we talk about, it, like I said, it is free. It's not just a free service to you that we do, but half of the advice is free. You know, stopping bad foods is free. A lot of times, you know, it's something you might never even have thought of. There's lots of things that could matter. We'll tell you whatever's relevant to you, and we'll give you a product recommendation as well. And whether you take that or not, you still have enough information to change your life.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I'll say this to wrap the show. Thank goodness you do have a Patreon or something like Patreon. It doesn't have to be Patreon specific, but that's what you have. Because you just got your entire free podcast fucking nuked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's always it's a nice backup to have, you know, even though it's the paid content. But because our show will always be free, but if it gets nuked, then we're kind of fucked.
Yeah.
So that's why we have our own stuff going on, too.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, Ryan, thank you so much again for your time. Appreciate you taking this kind of last minute. We'll definitely get you on the show and do this again.
Yes, sir.
That's it for this episode, Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracy Podcast. I have been one of your hosts, Big Country.
And I'm Boy.
And we'll see you next week. Take care.